And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, my news, views, and reviews of the world. Yeah, there's a lot out there about the jihadis, but CIA chief says ISIS is working to send operatives to the West. We should be worried about refugees, and Obama says we need more refugees. It seems as though Mr. Brennan of the CIA is concerned about his boss, but doesn't really want to say it, you know what I mean? We've had hundreds of Syrian Muslim men come in since Orlando. As fast as he can get them in, he spreads them around the country, mainly in Republican neighborhoods. No one can figure it out. No one can put two and two together. It's right in front of your eyes what he is and what he's doing. But no one understands why he's doing it. His own CIA director says he shouldn't be doing it. But no one can put two and two together. If he appeared in a fez, if Obama appeared in a fez on national television and got in a prayer rug, they would still say he's a Christian trying to save America. That's all. I mean, they'd get George Stephanopoulos to come out and prove that he's a Christian. Did you read about Hillary's huge Libya disaster, something I've been telling you about for quite a while now? It was she who created the disaster in Libya and flooded Europe with African Muslims and destroyed Libya. Remember the soundbite I told you? We came, we saw, he died. Her and her girlfriend's cackling. Do we have that one, Robert? We came, we saw, he died.
We saw, he died.
That's running for president. You hear this? Now play it again, because I think everyone's forgotten this. Sound tells it all. Look, radio is about sound, but here's your first Secretary of State, whatever she is now, Clinton Library front woman, I don't know, whatever, but she wants to beat Donald Trump because she's so good in public policy around the world. Here she is. Listen to this.
So we came, we saw, he died.
That you want that running the world? Okay, hey, if you're insane and you want an insane woman who's dangerous running America, you couldn't make a better choice. Prior to the February 17, 2011 day of rage, Libya had a national budget surplus. We don't have a budget surplus. Libya had a budget surplus of 8.7% of GDP in 2010 with oil production at 1.8 million barrels per day. Currently, under Hillary Clinton's disastrous Arab Spring policy, oil production has decreased by over 80%. Following the overthrow of Gaddafi, the Libyan economy has contracted by an estimated 41%. And now has a national deficit of 17% GDP. So it seems like Obama is running Libya. Gaddafi did a better job running Libya than Obama is in running America. Because before the revolution, there's a great article on this, The National Interest by Charles Kubik, and it's entitled Hillary's Huge Libya Disaster. I already turned the dial. I could feel him turning. The brain-dead, drug-addicted Americans have just turned the dial. They're moving to NPR now. They want to hear Vivaldi music about how good Hillary is, how wonderful Obama is, how great the First Lady's forthcoming trip to Morocco will be for America. Another boondoggle by Mooch Shell. Another boondoggle, that's sickening, turns in my stomach. What do you want me to say? I'm not embarrassed for her? No, I'm not embarrassed. I'm infuriated that the vermin, can't use that word. The Salenterites, can't use that word. People don't know what it means. The worms in the media. When I say worms in the media, think of Wolf Blitzer with eyeglasses as a worm. Think of Jake Tapper, not as a man, but underneath that suit, there's actually a worm's body. You know what I'm saying? Fill in the blanks. The worms in the media won't say one word about the abuse that Michelle Obama is subjecting us to. Could you imagine if a first lady under Donald Trump took trips like this over and over again at your expense? Yeah, okay, you get the picture. Hillary's Libya disaster. Read it yourself. She destroyed Libya. Play it again, Sam. Play it again, Sam. Get play.
We came, we saw, he died.
See, sorority had a good time. Of course, it was a disaster for Libya and Europe and the world. Because before the revolution, Hillary, Libya was a secure, prospering, secular Islamic country. It was also an ally of ours providing intelligence on terrorist activity after 9/11. Gaddafi was no longer a threat to the U.S., yet Secretary of Hate Hillary Clinton advocated and succeeded in convincing the administration to support the Libyan rebels, who are Islamists, by the way, with a no-fly zone, and then the humanitarian disaster that was occurring turned into an all-out war. She has destroyed every country she's ever touched, including the United States of America. Now let's move on. I read an article this morning that I thought would be of edification for you. School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. They've already lost his name on USA Today. I'm shocked that they're still reporting him as Omar Mateen and haven't changed it to Omar Martin in order for you to obscure any connection to Arabic. But remember him, the guy who shot up the poor gay guys? Remember? The Muslim? School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. Now, this is a USA Today article, and I go there to see the arch-liberals, how they twist everything. So they're already painting it as a story about the fact that he was a disturbed child, not a Muslim. Not a jihadist, but a disturbed child, and he slipped through the cracks. Had we only had counseling and treatment, if we were only a more inclusive nation. Omar Mateen's behavior, marked by constant outbursts and classroom insubordination, greatly contributed to his academic struggles. He struggled with English. See, that's an example of why in America we should teach courses in Arabic, not in English. I mean, after all, there used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now under Obama, it's when in America, do as you do and let the Americans drop dead. Remember the adage, remembered in high school, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? Romans were the center of the universe in their time, as we were before the invader came to the White House. And then I read, the main factor prohibiting Omar from success in school is not that the work is too hard, but rather his difficulties in conforming to class and school rules, in a letter sent to his father. Now, Omar on Sunday killed 49 gays and injured 53 at an Orlando nightclub. They've already washed it of gays. No reference to gays and Islam. And they said he had trouble from kindergarten on. He was disciplined 31 times, blah, blah, blah. He attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Oh, my God. How they let that slip into the article. I'm sure the reporter will be punished for that one. He had already attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Then his family moves to Florida, and they said he was always a troublemaker. Now, of course, the article indicates that the reason he was a problem, because his first language was Afghani, and that was spoken at home. And since school in America is taught in English, that was offensive to him. So I was thinking that there must be some way to reach out to the future jihadis in America to stop them from doing it. And I think that we should consider adding certain courses to elementary school in America, especially the ones we're bringing in now from Africa and the Middle East, in order to make young jihadis feel more included. We have to make our schools, Robert, more inclusive. So I think that elementary schools, all the way through K through 12, should consider special courses for the newcomers to America, so we're not seen as a non-inclusive nation. And so we can introduce throat cutting 101. How to slice a throat in one motion. Advanced wife beating. How to cut eye slits in a drape for your girlfriend. We could do other courses when they get older, such as identifying infidels. Or, let us say, by the 8th grade, roof throwing 101. Then, of course, when they hit 12th to 12th grade, we can introduce these courses. Media relations 102, how to turn everything into an affront to Muslims. And then media relations 102 would be, it's all their fault, how to blame every situation on the West and the Jews after you kill someone. Of course, in high school, if you want to be more inclusive in the future of America under Obama's flooding us with Islamic refugees, we could introduce History 203, how to keep your 7th century values in a 21st century world. And later on, there could be a master course on advanced chanting in schools, and 10 steps to becoming a terrorist mastermind. Now, if you'd like to join the fray here on the Savage Nation and suggest what kind of courses we should introduce into our schools so that future shooters feel more inclusive, I think you should call the Savage Nation, because I'll be damned if I'm going to stop being sarcastic and start kowtowing to these bedbugs. I'm sick of it. I am so sick of the media being afraid of them. I hate it. The only thing we can do is fight back, and I will use what I have best. I don't fight back with an AR-15. I fight back with my brain, with sarcasm, with ridicule. This is why I won the Freedom of Speech Award after I was banned from entering Britain. I had only one weapon against the Labour Party maniacs who banned me from entering Britain. They have Muslims in that country threatening to overthrow the nation, kill Christians, cut people's heads off, and they don't throw them out. But I'm not allowed to go to Britain. And it's a real shame for me. I've said it many times. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain. And it really disturbs me because I am desperate to really try that famed British cuisine again. And there's nothing like great fish and chips in the London metro. And, of course, when I need dental work, I don't want to go to my local dentist. I want to go to Britain for their fabled, very, very fabled dental care in the National Health Service. As you can see by the teeth in the Kennedy clan, even though they're Irish by descent, it's a similar type of dental work that they have over there. I don't know what it is. Maybe gnawing on codfish bones over the centuries did it. I'm not quite sure. Biting the heads off fish in the fish market to make sure that they're fresh. And they scream, ouch, could have done it. So what courses should we add to make young jihadis feel more included in America? It's an interesting, fun question. Since we have nothing left but our humor in this humorless world. And by the way, if you want to see what's not funny, the whole thing has backfired on the gun grabbers. The terrible, terrible shootout. It wasn't a shootout. It was a one-way job by the jihadi in Orlando in the gay club. Has caused gay communities to go out and buy guns in great numbers. Sales surge among gays and lesbians. So now this flies in the face of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Gun sales surge among gays, lesbians after Orlando shooting. I wonder why. Could anyone figure that one out? Denver, blah, blah, blah. Gunshots, blah, 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 blah. So they're getting a lot of them buying them all of a sudden. The Pink Pistols is a national gun club for gays and lesbians. It saw its membership soar from about 1,500 members on Saturday to 3,500 on Monday. New chapters of the Pink Pistols are springing up everywhere. He said it's something he feels compelled to do even though he's heterosexual. He says, I look at it as a disenfranchised minority that needs someone who's willing to say, I'm a resource is here and willing to help. Why don't we form a Pink Pistols here, a Savage Nation Pink Pistols gun club on the show to be in solidarity with our gay and lesbian listeners? I'm not going to form a club, but guys, you get the picture. This is the worst nightmare in the world for Hillary Clinton and Dick Durbin, which is that the one community of gays and lesbians that they thought they owned lock, stock, and barrel, they don't own by the barrel anymore. They don't even own it by the lock nor by the stock. They don't own this community whatsoever. The community knows, because they're very sensitive to hate, who hates them the most. And they know it's not the Christian right-winger, okay? They got that picture. They know who the haters are, so they're buying guns. The worst nightmare for Hillary. Who is she going to change her message to now? Who is she going to hate now? The NRA? Who is she going to attack now? Play the syncopated clock. I don't think anybody heard a word I said.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. And for that delicious chicken curry. Of course, it's the wrong music, but I don't want to play Arabic music, so I'm playing Hindu music. Because today at a hearing on CIA intelligence activity, CIA Director John Brennan said ISIS is attempting to infiltrate operatives into the West through refugee flows. Refugee flows? The CIA? How could he be saying a thing like that? That goes against the narrative that is being put forth by Obama and by Hillary, that they're all coming here to work and worship. And that it's our American values to be welcoming. Even those who want to kill us, we should be welcoming to those who want to kill us. In fact, we should help sharpen their knives. If we're true Americans, we'd be open, welcoming. We would help sharpen their knives for them. We'd even help them with C4 explosive if we were good Americans. We don't want to interfere with their activities. Here, how could the CIA director say the Islamic State is attempting to infiltrate the West through refugee flows? First of all, we've all known that for a long period of time. He just found it out. Suddenly got a memo on it. I guess it was yesterday. We've been talking about it, let's say, since Stop the Coming Civil War, Government Zero. I think I even hint at it in my Teddy book. I think even Teddy knows this. I think even my poodle knows, and Teddy and me somewhere, that they're infiltrating the West. It's like poodles are doing very well in the West, and all of a sudden people are bringing in dogs that want to kill them. And a poodle would even know that. It's the first thing a poodle would know. Animals know things. Yesterday, a sad thing happened to me. You talk about animals. I learned from everything. I went in my backyard. I have a tire there I won't throw out. I'm very frugal. I don't need it. I just bought new tires, and I still didn't put the old tire on. But I'm saving it in case I need it. I think it's 1951, right? I need a tire. I don't know. I left it there. It's a big, expensive $500 tire for the old Mercedes. So it was covered with some chair covers. I went to clean it up. A bird flew out, and a little egg was on the floor. Listen to what happened.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Sort of an offhanded jape. I mean, I'm playing Hindu music because I really don't want to play Arabic music because it might offend potential jihadis in America. And since Hindus have a better sense of humor, in my experience, I'm playing Hindu music because they get the joke, since they've lost millions of people to their friends over there in Pakistan before it was Pakistan. You don't even know the history of India, but okay, how can I talk to you about anything if you don't know history? The Muslims were killing the Hindus for so long, the Hindus were fighting back against the Muslims, that it was decided in 1947 to partition India and to create a new country where it would be only Muslims. So the Muslims would finally have a homeland and be at peace. Well, that was a do-gooder idea, and a million people died on the way. During the separation and the huge flow of individuals to the new lands, 1 million people died in fights. Okay, now you have a new country. A whole new country's formed, still not enough for them. So now they've been killing Hindus over Kashmir, saying, well, you didn't give everything that's ours. And when are you going to learn what's going on in the world? Thursday, at a hearing, a CIA intelligence activity, CIA Director John Brennan says that ISIS is attempting to infiltrate operatives into the West through refugee flows. Duh. Wow, that's really great. They needed Langley to figure that out. Who works at these places? We've been talking about it for at least 5 years on radio, that they're coming in. Listen, if you were a terrorist and you wanted to bring your brethren in, how would you bring them in? You bring them in as a refugee under asylum laws because you have a stupid nation, a nation of idiots. You have a nation of morons with weak laws, stupid, compassionate laws that you exploit if you're a smart terrorist. He figured it out that it just started all of a sudden. And, of course, the genius in the White House says they're not bringing them in at all. Everyone who's coming here is coming to add to diversity. That's all. So this is what we're facing. A massacre in Orlando still doesn't wake people up much. Although gays and lesbians are running to buy AR-15s and other guns, which is a positive sign of self-defense, I don't know that the people themselves know what's going on. CIA director says Islamic State attempting to infiltrate the West through refugee flows. This just happened today. Listen to clip number one right now in the Savage Nation.
ISIL has a large cadre of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West. And the group is probably exploring a variety of means for infiltrating operatives into the West, including in refugee flows, smuggling routes, and legitimate methods of travel.
Who wrote this for him? Whoever wrote in the word refugee flows should be investigated by the CIA's internal division, because somebody's trying to undermine the genius in the White House. Now he goes on in clip two. Listen to the rest of it in clip two. You got to hear this. It's worthy.
ISIL is adapting to the coalition's efforts, and it continues to generate at least tens of millions of dollars in revenue per month, primarily from taxation in those areas that it controls, and from crude oil sales on the black and gray markets inside of Syria and Iraq. Unfortunately, despite all our progress against ISIL on the battlefield and in the financial realm, our efforts have not reduced the group's
terrorism
and global reach.
All right, you know the idiots are running the government, or stop it. You know the complete incompetent morons are running the government, which is why Trump is soaring. First of all, the way this guy speaks indicates he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's reading somebody else's speech. He doesn't have any connection to the words. The words themselves are meaningless and empty. Trump speaks, at least you hear him. He's speaking straight. And the American people can't take this anymore. We're in great danger. So what do we the people do? Oh, we vote for Hillary Clinton. We bring in more Dark Age barbarians. Yeah, we bring in more Dark Age barbarians into America in order to be inclusive. Why is it that wealthy OPEC nations will not accept a single so-called refugee from their neighboring Muslim countries? Why? Answer that question, Hillary. Why won't wealthy OPEC nations accept a single refugee from their neighboring Muslim countries, Hillary? Maybe they're smarter than the morons running the country and the idiot who wants to be president. Incomprehensible that he's not impeached even now. ISIS is infiltrating the West via the president's stupid mantra and his resentment for America and Hillary's overwhelming greed. That's the take-home message. My friends, and I tell you over and over again, like a broken record, we understand what's going on. The president is either incompetent or a fellow traveler. There is nothing else that you can conclude from this. You could write it off to big-hearted liberalism, but it's way past that. When his own CIA director had a mumble about immigration and terrorism, he's trying to warn us that even he's had enough. So, you know, what is it going to take for people to wake up and say, I'm sorry, this has to stop? Okay, my friends, the California Voting Rights Act, you know about that? Automatically registered to vote any driver's license applicants, including non-citizens and illegals. This is what Jerry Brown did. How do you think an incompetent like Jerry Brown could become governor? How do you think an incompetent like Mayor Lee in San Francisco could keep his job with such a corrupt city? How do you think someone like Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, and Barbara Boxer can stay in office? How? If you give the right to vote to individuals who are not citizens, who don't even understand English, they'll do anything that their ward boss tells them to do. That's how it works. It's a total meltdown. So it's a miracle that we still have freedom of speech. And the fact of the matter is, if she wins, it's over. First goes, then the second. First, the second, second. That's how it goes. So, I forgot to tell you about the bird. I got to get back to the bird egg. And I want to talk about compassion, how I was taught compassion by my father. And I wonder why compassion is not taught towards others in the Muslim world. Do they teach compassion in the religion of peace? Is there a Muslim listening who can show me one sutra about compassion? I'd like to learn it, if you don't mind, since I see nothing but the opposite about infidels and conversion and cut the throat and put him by a tree and hang him. Is there anything about compassion in there somewhere that I missed? So I'm cleaning up outside my garage. I have an old big tire. I won't throw it out because I'm frugal. And it's on a little wagon that I don't use because I won't throw it out because I'm frugal. And some chair covers that I replaced that I won't throw out because I'm frugal. I may need the chair covers in case there's an apocalypse. I may have to use the chair covers in some way. I'm one of these guys, I keep things. I shouldn't, I know it. But I actually always find use for things. I'll tell you the truth, to get sidetracked for a minute. I had a tablecloth that was made out of, like a rubberized top. Because I didn't want to ruin the wood. What's the point of getting a beautiful wood finish on a table if you put a cover on it? I don't understand it, but I do. In case I want to sell it, I want it to have full value. So I put something really thick, like a top. I don't use this. I threw it out, but I wouldn't throw it out. I put it in the garage. And as I'm putting it away, I'm thinking to myself, why am I saving this thing? Because one day you may need it. I did. Since the Jaguars leak a lot, they have controlled leakage. And I didn't want to stain the garage. It actually turned out to be quite handy underneath the oil pan. So you see, there is a use for old stuff. So I'm on the side of the house, old tire, wagon, covers. I'm figuring how to clean it up yesterday. Oh, so much coffee. I pull the covers off the old tire, and a bird flies out, a little bird. It was like, it startled me. And there was straw under it. And it was so sad. She had laid a little egg, and she was building a nest under there. I'd left it there for so long. It was very sad. I didn't know what to do. I knew if I touched the egg, the bird, mother bird, would never come back. And she went up in a tree and started to scream. She was literally screaming at me. I mean, if I were a cartoonist, if I were Walt Disney, I'd do a whole cartoon on this. That bird was yelling at me, and bird. She put out every alarm you could imagine. It was really heartbreaking. I know I tried to talk to her. I said, calm down. I'm not going to touch your egg. Come back. I'll leave it alone. I didn't know what to do. So I ran and I put paper towel over the egg. And then I covered the paper towel with cardboard, allowing an entry for the bird, figuring she'd come back. She never came back. I went there an hour later and the ants were eating a little egg. It was just heartbreaking to listen to that mother bird screaming. So you say, well, look, you eat chicken every day. How different is it? And you see, this is the whole crux of the matter. Why do I have compassion for a wild bird and no compassion for a chicken? That's an interesting thing unto itself. Because if you're purely logical, you should have the same compassion for a chicken laying an egg, but I don't. It's not like I hate chickens. I don't care about them. I'm sorry. They were raised to lay eggs and to be slaughtered. A wild bird, on the other hand, represents the wildness in all of us. The wild bird represents the beauty of the wilderness. There's a beautiful house I have hidden somewhere, redwood trees, top of a mountain, and I go there to get away from the horrors of the world. And so there was this thing, it was some metaphor for me, I don't know what the whole metaphor was. She said, well, maybe you soft-taught it. I come in the studio today, I turn the equipment on, a spider runs out, a black spider. Now, a normal man would crush it, kill that thing. I don't. I got a glass, put it over the spider, put a card under the glass, took it outside and put it in the lawn. Why wouldn't I kill the spider? Because, first of all, God created the spider. That's number one. Why did God create the spider? I don't know. I'm not God. But it's not my job to just kill the spider because it happened to be near my radio equipment. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, here's the question. How compassionate do you want to teach a boy to be? How, quote, soft do you want to make a man become? This is a question that needs to be discussed. Because if a man becomes too soft, he can't defend himself or his country. On the other hand, if you teach a boy to kill everything that moves, what is he fit for? What is that boy fit for if he's taught to kill everything that moves? What kind of man will he become? Can he ever be with a woman? Can he ever raise children without hurting those children? These are important questions. Now, it goes back. Sorry to get so distracted, but I'm just telling you a long story. A lot of talk radio is storytelling and allegory and stuff like that. So I'm getting somewhere. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with this, but it has to do with terrorism. And pretty much you can jump cut to that anyway and use logic. They're not taught compassion to anything. They're taught to kill everything in their cultures. Not in their religion necessarily, but their cultures are ruthless, bloodthirsty, murderous cultures. And now you're bringing them into a society that's overly sensitive. And what do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to dominate whom? This is an important question. So that's for another person to answer, not for me to answer. It's only for me to ask. So where did I learn to be compassionate to animals? I'll never forget it. 5-4 years old, Catskill Mountains, bungalow colony. We weren't watching TV. They would rent movies on a rainy day in August when it started to rain up there. And they'd show movies in the communal hall, whatever it was called. And the kids would go watch a movie. So there was a movie called Bring Him Back Alive with Frank Buck. He was an animal collector. He would go into the jungles and he'd capture animals. And my father would watch it with me. And as the movie is running, my father, I didn't like seeing animals killed, even as a kid, by the way. It was maybe inherently in me, I don't know. But he would say, notice that he doesn't kill the animals. He's just capturing them without hurting them and bringing them back to a zoo. So I felt better that I would watch the movie. I didn't want to see an animal being slaughtered for no reason. I didn't like guys who hunt rhinos. And just to show how macho they are to kill an animal from a half a mile away. You know, real powerful men and go and kill a poor innocent creature. But the thing is, there it was. So I said, okay, compassion for animals. Was it inherent in me? Was I taught the compassion? I don't really know. So now let's move to Israel. mentally move to Israel. You have a culture in Israel that's a very tough culture. It's a desert culture at the end of the day. And yet it is steeped in the Old Testament and it is steeped in the Talmud. And the Talmud, although it is very strict in terms of do's and don'ts, it is extremely compassionate if you read it very carefully. It was the Jews who gave us the Sabbath. And why did the Jews give us the Sabbath? The Jews gave us the Sabbath in order to rest themselves and rest their livestock. Did you know that? They taught you not to hit and hurt your animals. Did you know that as well? It was the Jews who gave that compassion to the world. Do you know that the laws, the kosher food laws, are totally misinterpreted? I'm an expert on ethnic foods and nutrition. I studied this as part of my doctoral work. The greatest interpretation of the kosher food laws is that one of the kosher food laws is how to slaughter animals as painlessly as possible. And so they never permit the ritual slaughterer to use a dull knife. He must use the sharp knife. Why? So the animal dies as quickly as possible with as little pain as possible. So you say, well, that's a small point. It's not. It's a very big point. When you consider when these laws were written 5,000 years ago and what the people of the earth were like, well, all you're going to do is look at Brooklyn. You'll see what they're like now. You understand why these laws were so advanced. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation. Don't you dare go away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. We're talking about compassion, the relative compassion of the West. You call it some whatever you want. And the, you can call it sensitivity, compassion, and the lack of compassion in other parts of the world, especially amongst the jihadists. They have no compassion. They have hatred. They are taught hate from the minute they come out of their mother's womb. Omar Mateen raged against the filthy ways of the West. And he goes and shoots up gays. Now, it's alleged that he was gay himself, that he had gone to the club many times. It sounds like he was partly psychotic, self-hating, God knows what. But he hated the America that was so good to him and his Palestinian wife. And he wrote this in cyberspace. The real Muslims will never accept the filthy ways of the West. The 29-year-old American-born Muslim wrote on one of his last five Facebook accounts, according to the letter from Senator Ron Johnson, chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. The real Muslims will never accept the filthy ways of the West. So what, you go, you kill them? Is that it? So tell me, what's a bigger affront to God? Slaughtering innocent people or being filthy morally? Tell me what God would hate more. I mean, think about the insanity of this, about these people, how sick they really are, mentally sick. They hold themselves up as being cleaner and holier than everyone around them, and yet they have no problem with killing the innocent. So what's a greater affront to God? Committing sexual acts that are offensive to them, or slaughtering innocent people? Tell me, on a range of 1 to 10, which is far worse. Can you figure that one out? Now, that's something that should be given on a card to every green card. There should be a little message on the back that we don't kill people we don't like in this country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Homeland Security is worried that right-wing extremists pose a greater threat than the Muslim jihadis. Now, my friends, the most important thing that you can learn from this show is called intelligent reasoning. Yesterday's show, I mean, I was joking around, doing stuff, but, you know, I actually hit a very important point, which was that we don't, in America, reject Islam or Muslims at all. We reject those who are coming in with 7th, 8th, and 9th century Muslim mentalities. We can't have them here. And so this is the idiocy of Barack Obama, who says that we're a pluralistic nation, we don't discriminate against any religion. Of course that's true. But when a religion teaches hatred for other religions, and when a religious teaching says kill the infidel, A logical nation says, no, you can't come into the country because you're a bloodthirsty, psychotic, throwback murderer, and you're not coming in. So, Mr. Obama, there has to be some subtlety in your all-or-nothing mentality, you see. And your mentality should say, yes, of course, we welcome Muslims, but anyone who brings in the antiquated mentality of the 7th century will not be admitted, and we're going to test you for it. Yeah, right, sure. Right on. Sure, that's going to happen. Of course we would love educated, moderate Muslims like the King of Jordan. Not, I mean, kings. An educated Muslim fears the throwbacks more than you do. I've had them on the show. Educated Muslims know more than you do about the psychosis of the throwbacks. They would never permit them near them. And yet Obama welcomes them. Why? See, the question is not... really, the question is, why is he doing it when all common sense says don't do it? His own CIA director today said that they're using immigration to get into the West, and yet he continues to do it. So you ask yourself, wait a minute, hold on. 441 Syrian refugees admitted to the USA since the Orlando attack. Why would he be doing that? Why would he be doing that? Well, see, there's two reasons. One, he is a pie-in-the-sky liberal who will never change his mantra or his agenda, no matter what facts hit him in the face, because he's just simply a, I don't know what to say, a true-believing humanist liberal. I don't believe that at all. I believe he's a bloodthirsty, blood-curdling monster, if you want to know the truth. But he's so good at it that you don't even see that side of him. If he was screaming and yelling and mind-comping, this wouldn't have happened. But he's so good at selling what he's selling that he never raises his voice and he never yells, so he gets away with it. That's what I think. I mean, any other sane nation would have impeached him a long time ago for what he's done. Forget about this. I'll give you 10 other things he's done that were impeachable. Incidentally, if you love my show and you want me to win the coveted Radio Hall of Fame induction as the best talk show host amongst those listed after 22 years of radio, it's real simple. Sunday night, midnight. For a week only, you text to 36500, message is savage. It's real simple. Write down the number. You text to 36500 and the message is savage, and tell all of your friends on your social networks to do the same. And that's Sunday night at 12:01. Because if you elect me, yeah, my ego gets massaged, but my message also gets out there, which is borders, language, and culture, because when I accept the award, if I'm inducted by you, I will announce that the reason my listeners picked me is because of my message, which is borders, language, and culture. And I think that's a very important thing to do, is to get that message out there. I mean, I live and die by this message. And when I say die, I mean at this point, only professionally. Let's hope it sticks to the professional level only. Because some people don't like the message. They want me off their radio station. Oh, they hate the message. They want a balloon man on, somebody who's just dirty, potty mouth they like, potty mouth, hate America they like. Anything that's patriotic they hate. I don't understand that. They have a vengeance for me. So if you want to talk about the topics I have raised, you know the topic that I raised that I think is worth talking about, which is why I didn't kill the spider, the bird, the little bird that flew away when I discovered her egg. That's a heartbreaking little story. Is there an expert out there on wild birds? What should I have done? Picked the egg up and brought it to the mother in the tree? I don't know what to do. I didn't touch it. I know once you touch an egg, they won't come back to the egg. Right? Or do they ever come back? She was laying and the egg was so small, it was heartbreaking. It wasn't like a chicken egg. It was a little bird, but she screamed. Wow, up in that tree, she flew out like a, you know, like a duck hunter. They come out of a blind, like, brrr, flew out of the tire. It was like a laying there on the ground. I didn't know it was under there, and I said, oh, wow. And all the straw, she was making a nest that was heartbreaking. What a life these wild animals lead when you think about it. All day long, she's got to go get, like, hay and twigs and make a nest. It's nestling season because you won't believe this. I swear to God, in this little mountain place that I have, I was going to close two windows. They're the old style windows that the top only opens and you crank. I was going to close it, but for some reason I looked carefully. I saw a twig. I climbed up on a ladder. There were two nests, in but one in each window, empty nests. They're like getting ready to lay eggs and looking around nests all around my house now. I don't understand it. Why don't they don't do it up in the trees? There's redwood trees above the house. I don't get it. What are they laying? They're putting nests around an old tire and a this and a that. But I want to know why the bird wouldn't come back. Joey, ask someone out there who's calling if there's a bird person, whether they be an ornithologist or a naturalist. Why didn't the mother bird come back? Because I didn't touch it. I put paper towel on the little egg, covered it with a cardboard against the house to create a shelter, and then walked away for over an hour. And I came out an hour later. She didn't touch it. She never came back. She was screaming in that tree in bird to me. She yelled at me in bird. Like, get away, get... It was an alarm signal that even a human being could understand. She was saying, you know, like, it's my egg, it's my baby, leave it alone. It was unbelievable. So maybe I'm getting daffy in my older age. I don't know, but I've always sort of been like this. I've always been touched for animals. I can't help it. I'm a, you know, what can I say? It's the way I am. Yet I eat meat, I eat eggs. Poultry, fish, veal, I eat it all. I don't sit there crying over a veal parmesan. Oh, give me the veal parm and a napkin so I can cry while I'm eating it. No, not the same thing to me. Give me a meatball hero and bring me some tissue so I can cry while I'm eating it. No, not what I do. I don't go into, you know, D'Alessandro's pizzeria and say, give me the tissues and the sandwich so I can cry over it. So we all have to be somewhat schizophrenic to survive in the Western world. We eat a chicken, but we cry over a wild bird's egg. We let spiders out of a house by putting it under a glass, but we eat hamburger. I mean, it's pretty nuts the things you have to navigate. How do you raise a child with all of this? You know, it's pretty amazing. Oh, our children, our poor little children, what a world we're giving them. What a horrible world. Oh, it's sickening. All the little children in our kindergartens are going to face these throwback barbarians. How are they going to survive? I ask myself every day when you have a madman, an evil madman in the White House. A madman could not do more harm to a nation than this one. See, I went from compassion to rage. This is what I am. This is how I am. It's how I was raised. Beethoven did the same thing, by the way. If you listen to Beethoven, he goes from the quiet to the... Just listen to music, you'll understand what I'm saying. And the fact of the matter is, the little children suffer. The little children, how are they going to survive in a world where they're taught to be compassionate to every little thing and inclusive in the bathrooms and of this and of that? And then you're bringing in barbarians who want to cut your daughter's throat! And you'll vote for Hillary Clinton, who wants more of them. More barbarians you want. More barbarians, more 7th century barbarians you want around you. Are you people that sick? Just because she's a woman, you're that psychotic? I say to myself every day, what can I say? All I can say it is I say it like it is. My friends, it's time for you to call the show. It's 855-407-2828. KLIF in the great city of Dallas, Texas, where Donald Trump is going to speak tonight, by the way. KLIF Radio. Dennis, thanks for being one of my great listeners. What's on your mind?
I know why you didn't kill the spider. Because you realize somebody had taught you somewhere that the spider was just trying to make a living like you are.
That's right. The spider came in my house looking to eat something like an ant.
And I, you know, I'm the most conservative person in South Dallas. I can guarantee you that. But still, I know why you didn't kill the spider.
Well, let me ask you, as a tough Texan who probably knows a lot about guns and hunts, do you find it to be a weakling who would not kill a spider? Does it make me, in your eyes, a weakling that I wouldn't kill the spider?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't kill the spider either. I'd have done the same thing. And I'm a gun owner and a hunter. And I own.
I knew it. All right. Now, I figured so. That's what I'm saying. That's why your call is so enlightening. So why don't you kill the spider, for example?
Because I realize also that he's just trying to make a living.
Right. He didn't ask to be born, as someone once said to me. Even the rat didn't ask to be born. He was put here. That doesn't mean we should let rats proliferate. They spread disease. That's another story. But I get what you're saying. But the same now with the egg. If you're an outdoorsman, if you see a wild bird, for example, at a nest that you come upon, and the egg is out of the nest, what do you? Can you do anything about that or not?
No, and I think you. I'm not supposed to cuss, so I'm not going to. You screwed up when you put the when you messed with it. You should have never messed with it. You should have.
Well, I didn't. I was trying to clean up the side of my garage by pulling out an old tire and some covers, and she was under there. I didn't know.
Well.
You're saying once you touched any of that area, it was over?
I don't believe that, but I don't know. I'm no expert.
I don't know. Maybe there's a bird person. Hey, my hunting friend Dennis on KLIF, I'm sending you a... You got a choice. You want Teddy and Me, my great book about my lovely dog, or do you want Government Zero?
I want a Teddy and You. I'm a dog lover.
You got Teddy and Me on the way. What a Father's Day gift that is. It's a Father's Day gift. You should go and look at it, you know, really. It's not going to make me richer or poorer if you do. You'll love the book, honestly. And then that night you do it. You get a twofer. You go out and you vote for me on the phone. You text 36500 and you hit Savage. Bingo. How hard is that? Do it for Father's Day. No, it's a very weird day for me because of the egg and then the spider. Sometimes I think God talks to me in odd ways. You know that? I don't know. Maybe you say I'm touched or weak-minded. Who knows? But it's not like I just started to feel these things. I've always been like this. For years, I let a fly out of a window. I let a bee out of the house. Well, I got to kill it? What am I, a talk show host who smokes cigars and golfs and shows on a real man? Get out the raid and spray the bee. Crush the spider. Smash the egg. Show you're a real Republican. Man, I hate people like that. I hate false machismo more than anything on earth. The toughest guy I know has fought in five wars. I can't even go into the details because I hope he's not listening. Green Beret, paratrooper, doctor, great guy, wonderful man. He won't eat an animal anymore. He said, I've done so much slaughter in my life. He said, I'm a pescatarian. He mainly is a vegetarian. He'll eat an occasional piece of fish. Doesn't drink alcohol. I mean, that's the way he is. But he never, ever puts on an act of being a tough guy. But he won't kill an animal if he doesn't have to. See what I'm saying? I don't like these fake guys on radio. Oh, yeah, crush the spider. Yeah, tough guy. I'm a real macho chest beater. Right. I'm not. So that's what it comes down to. Now, there are hunters out there, and they're the ones who can save us from the barbarians. No one else can. Certainly, it's not the lawyers from NYU. It's not the lawyers at the New York Civil Liberties Union. No, it's the hunters who will save us at the end of the day, like the one hunters who saved us in World War II. Oh, do I have some of those stories to tell you in a minute. I met guys who flew P-51 Mustangs. Every last one of them learned how to shoot from an airplane because they were hunting rabbits as a young boy in the Midwest. Do you know that? They knew how to follow a target and shoot ahead of the target that was moving quickly. They said the very same principles applied when machine gunning an enemy pilot out of the sky. Would you believe it? Yes. You better believe it. Marvin from the NYU. I'll be back, Marvin.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the deceiver-in-chief flew to Orlando to pay his respects to the dead through their families. Okay, fine. You'd think he'd give a speech on Islamic terrorism? You'd think he'd say we're going to clamp down on bringing in throwbacks who have not evolved? And if we bring in Muslims, they're going to have to be modern Muslims or we're not bringing them in? I mean, the country would cheer if he said a thing like that. You'd say he's rational, but the man is irrational or working for the other side. There's no other explanation for the madness of this man. Lance on KSFO. What's your topic, Lance?
Yeah, doctor, when you put the towel on the bird egg, that was the kiss of death.
Okay, hold on. I didn't put a towel on it. It was on the concrete now. I went and got, like, a roll of paper, and I put the paper towel on it, but not the part where my fingers were. Like, I was careful. So that did it already, the paper towel?
There's only one solution. The instant you saw the circumstance, immediate reversal. And abandonment.
What do you mean? The minute I pulled a tire and the cardboard and the bird flew out and straw flew everywhere, I should have what? Run away?
Immediate reversal and abandonment. And then there.
Then what happened?
You get a 50% chance the bird will come back.
And what? Pick the egg up and go somewhere else with it?
No. You've got to stay away. You know, they can't move that. Can't move that.
Okay, so it was a goner. Once I cleaned up the tire, it was all over.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it like your lunch. If somebody comes up to your lunch.
I just had sushi. It just arrived.
Yeah, if somebody comes up to your lunch and hangs around for a while and starts putting a paper towel on it, are you going to eat it?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, that's quite a thought right there. And I'm eating the pinworm sushi right now, even though I swore off it. Look. The whole thing is complex. Eating, birds, spiders, immigration, whatever. Thanks for calling, my friend. I'm sending you Teddy and me. I'm blowing them out for Father's Day. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Since comes out today, John Brennan, and he says ISIS is sending in operatives via refugee flows. You hear this? Meanwhile, his boss, Barack Obama, who he has never disagreed with once, is saying everyone who comes here is good, wonderful, great, inclusion. We're pluralistic. We don't discriminate. So tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Even the CIA chief knows something's wrong with his boss. The only one who doesn't seem to know it is Jay Johnson of DHS. He's still looking on the lookout for returning military veterans. And anyone who wears a cross. Anyone who wears a cross is a threat to Jay Johnson. Anyone at a gun show is a threat to Jay Johnson. Beyond belief. So something's wrong with the whole structure here of this country. That's why we can't wait for the election. But I don't know if we can wait for the election to demand the impeachment, to stop him before he kills. See, if he's not stopped through impeachment and his policies are not put on ice immediately, if he can bring in 30,000, I don't know how many thousand, of Syrian Muslim refugees, how are you ever going to reverse that? And he knows it. He's trying to get as much over the wire as he can before he goes. So why is he doing it? Wouldn't the same president say, I better put a hold on it? Even my CIA director saying they're using it as a way to get in here. Why is he doing it so quick? You can't figure the two things out?
Yeah.
The Trojan horse doesn't work for you. Infiltration doesn't work for you. No, none of that works for you. Thursday, the hearing on CIA intelligence activities, the CIA director, John Brennan, said ISIS is attempting to infiltrate operatives into the West through refugee flows. Well, we've all known this for many years. He just figured it out, but at least he said it. If I say it, no one listens to me. If he says it, maybe someone will hear him. But will it change anything? No. The bedbugs, the immigration attorneys, are the first line of offense in this nation. The first thing I would do in the top 10, if I became president, I'm not running, or if I gave advice to a president, number one, military, you look at the military, how to get back all of the good men who were driven out by Obama or quit under Obama. You'd give them any incentive you have to get them back in the military. Number two, fire all the people that he made general for no reason other than that they were a minority or a woman. Now, if they qualified, fine. But you know and I know that that's not what happened. The Secretary of the Air Force has never flown a plane. He made it the Secretary of the Air Force, let alone a combat jet. Secretary of the Air Force, all of a sudden, a glorified air traffic controller. She's now the Secretary of the Air Force. Why? You gotta demote her. Put a combat veteran in there, someone who understands what the plight of a combat pilot. All the way down the line, replace them. And that goes now every department. What he's done to this country is almost, I don't know if it can be reversed. From science, medicine, you name the area. You've got flunkies everywhere who are working against the public health, for example, in the health service. You got flunkies admitting immigrants with diseases. Flunkies who should be put in prison because they know better. But why is he doing it? And what, moreover, the big question is if the man is this crazy. Let's say you say he's incompetent. I disagree with you. I think he's the most brilliant operative of the left I've ever seen in my life. He's the furthest thing from incompetent. He's super competent. He's got a super high IQ. He is doing everything that he ever wanted to do and then some. And he's not been stopped at all by anyone. Not a Republican in the House or in the Senate will stop this madman before it's too late. He's like George Matetsky, the mad bomber. They catch the guy putting bombs in the subway and they don't stop him? You bring in throwbacks who you know are going to hurt the country. You don't stop the flow until you can figure out where they're coming from and what their background is, unless you want to hurt people. And I'm asking a question that should be screaming. People should be screaming about this in Congress, screaming about it. So why do you think instead I'm talking about not killing a spider, a wild bird drops an egg on the ground as I'm cleaning out an old tire? What do you do about it? I mean, see, why? Because you have to lead your life. It comes down to you're going to still run your life, no matter what lunatic is running the country. Like right now in Syria, they got a civil war going on for how many years? How many millions of people were killed and driven out? But every day the person gets up, they brush their teeth, they eat a piece of bread, or whatever they make. They make their prayers, and they go about their lives. The children probably still go to school somewhere. And that's the metaphor for all of us, is that even with a madman as a president, even a man as demonic as this, you have to get up and you have to lead your life as best you can. You have to get distracted any way you can from the madness of the times. So, spider, the bird's egg, a walk in the park, a watch of the sunset, a glass of wine, whatever it is, you have to lead your life. You can't give up. You have to pray to God that this man is out of office and that Trump wins and he starts to clean the house. And that there's a penalty for what they've done to the country. They go to prison. They give up the assets they stole. For example, in the green gangsters, they give up the money, the billions they robbed. They have to give it back and go to jail. You see people who you would never believe in a million years. You remember the show The Untouchables about the mafia in Chicago in the 1920s and 30s? That until an Elliot Ness came along, they were above the law. Nobody could touch them. God Almighty couldn't touch those gangsters. And then one man, one honest man in the Department of Justice in a newly minted division called the Federal Bureau of Investigation came along and he took down a large portion of that crime syndicate in Chicago at the time. And we're waiting for the Elliot Ness of our time to appear to take down the madness that is ruining the nation. And the question is, why don't they stop him while he's doing it? I mean, there's got to be some method to stop the man. Of course there is. It's called a press. It's called the Fourth Estate. They should be pointing out every day with screaming headlines, Obama letting in terrorists through immigration. Obama's policies upside down. That's what the headline should be in the Daily News, the Post, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times. But it's not the headlines. That's not the headlines you see. Instead, you see a complete and total cover-up. Because those in the newspaper business are worse than he is. They're brainwashed themselves. They don't even know what he's doing. And if they did know, they'd probably agree with him. Because they go along with the mantra. Inclusion, anti-Christian, Christians no good, Christians just as violent, blah, 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 blah. Mental cases. Mental basket cases. So we the people know that, and the newspapers have never been more hated than now. Journalists never more lowly rated than now, ever. People hate the media because they know what they are. I watch them and want to break the television set. I can't even watch it anymore. You know, if you were, I'm not knocking them. I don't even watch Fox News. You say, well, where do you get your news from? The internet, all of it. I have to scour it all day long from the minute I wake up. Internet, 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 internet. I don't turn to these pancake face people to give me anything that's a semblance of reality. I don't watch Fox News, so once in a while I'll watch either Japanese television news or I'll watch RT. I haven't done it in weeks. I haven't watched RT. Say, well, do you believe every piece of Russian propaganda? No. But at least I get intellectually satisfying commentary. At least I can listen to somebody speaking English, even though it's a second language to them. The ones in the news here don't even speak English. Even if they were born here and speak the language, it's not English. It's gibberish. It's propaganda. From the minute they open their mouth to the end of the broadcast, it's propaganda. Do they even know how to speak truthfully and from a center? Do they have any center left? I don't think so. That's why they're picked. So, look, I can complain all I want from today until kingdom come about the rotten people in the press. What is it going to do for me? Trump fired the Washington Post and won't let him near his rallies. He did the right thing. Why should he let Jeff Bezos's stooges near him when they're going to distort everything he says? Why would you let anybody who hates you near you? I've given interviews. I've been set up my whole life, and I stopped giving them. Very, 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 very cautious to give any interviews whatsoever. Why? Why? They all come at you with sugar in their mouths. They come at you with sugar cubes on their tongues, but you know what they're going to do. They're going to spit their venom at you if they get a chance. All of them. They're pit vipers, all of them. All they want to do is set you up for a fall. Text to 36500, message Savage. That's Sunday night at midnight, because I deserve it. Now, let's take a call or two. I got beautiful callers. You're invited to call. You're invited to go to michaelsavage.com. You're invited to check out Teddy and me. You know, you're invited, you're invited, you're invited. Now, I don't have much time left here. I don't know where the time is going. It's like life itself. Where'd the time go? Where'd it go? Where'd the last 50 years go? 40 years, 30 years? I can't believe when you're young and you hear old people say to you, you know, when you get older, believe me, time goes by fast. You don't even know what they're talking about when you're a kid. You listen to it. You're so busy having a good time, running around. Who ever thinks about that when you're 15, 16, 18, 20? It doesn't matter to you. All you want to do is party on and have a good time. You don't ever think you're going to get older. You're 20, you never think you'll see 30, nor it's like so far away. What you say in your head is, you know what, I'll worry about it when I'm 30. Am I right, Robert? Isn't that how you thought? If it entered your mind at all, and I don't know how many people even think about being 30 or 20, but let's say you're 20, and you think, oh, when I'm 30, you know what, I'll worry about it when I'm 30. You push it away. But they were right, the oldsters. As you get older, you realize time is, first of all, very mysterious. The whole concept of time is almost a construct. One day I want to do a whole show on what is time. Then maybe it's too complicated for mass radio. I don't know what people really want to hear. You take a look who succeeds. The balloon man. Every other word. Lesbian. Panties. That makes millions of dollars a year. So who knows what they want to hear. That's held up as a... That goes to the Metropolitan Museum with the wig on. A real genius. That won the Radio Hall of Fame, no less. The balloon man they put in there. Can you imagine? Michael on KSFO, line 3, what's on your mind?
Wow, what an honor, Dr. Savage. I was just going to say that compassion, in my humble opinion, is a gift of God directly. Or if our parents in some way teach us about compassion. And, I mean, it really strikes that you're talking about this because... there's not a whole lot of compassion in America right now. At least I don't see it.
No, it's right. We very rarely see compassion shown. It's shown as weakness, for one, and never discussed, number two. I coined the phrase compassionate conservative, which got George Bush elected. I don't know if you know that. In fact, I held conventions called compassionate conservative conventions before he even ran for office. He ripped it off and he won. Okay, that's history. So compassion's a very important concept. I don't hear anyone talking about it. I think that's what you're saying, aren't you, Michael?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, about your concept of time, I came here from Mexico. I'm an immigrant back in my early teens. And I was happy. That was Reagan's time, and I felt good to be in this country, even though I was not yet a citizen. And it's just funny that I became a citizen, I felt like... Well, you know, I'm embraced now. I have my nation. I can say I'm an American now because since I came here early in my life, I didn't see Mexico as I was really a Mexican, you know, nationalist Mexican. But thanks to your, I've been listening to you for a while, and a couple of years ago, you said something about what was our greatest fears. I think year or so ago, you said that.
Yeah. What are your greatest fears?
Well, the things that I saw a couple of years ago are already happening, and then the whole story is going to be the stuff that he's been talking about is going to really come to pass, and I even really feeling like choosing another part of the world to see the election from, I don't know, see it from afar.
Well, wait a minute, who are you voting for, Trump or Clinton?
No, no, hell no! I'm going to vote for Trump. I hope he makes it. I hope the election is not.
All right. So you understand America either lives or dies on this election because you've been on El Camino de la Vida, and you understand El Camino de la Vida is the same road we're all on, right?
I'm
El Camino de la Vida. I mean, I don't have to tell you what that means, do I?
That's right. We need to walk in life a little bit, and a lot of people don't remember Hillary Clinton's era because, you know, you had to be very young back then in the early 90s for the Clintons. But
I understand. I understand. And I predicted months ago that Latino men, Hispanic men were going to vote for Trump in large numbers for the obvious reasons I mentioned. Wasn't I correct?
You are absolutely correct. And let me tell you, a lot of Mexicans, we have kids here, and we want to see a country for our, I want to see my grandkids that have America. And I'm beginning to feel that that may not happen, you know?
I agree 1,000%. Well, let me send you a beautiful book, Teddy and Me, for your grandchild. And I hope that on Sunday night at midnight or when you wake up Monday morning, you will text the 36500 and message Savage in order to see me nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame, because the language that I will use at that speech when I'm inducted will be all about borders, language, and culture, nothing about me. All right, my friends, when I come back, we got time for a couple of quick calls and all the latest news, and there's a lot of news out there. Top imam says beating wives the only way to control them. Yeah, a step-by-step account on how to beat up your wife. And by the way, he's not overseas. No. Top imam says beating wives is the only way to control them. You hear this? And the women still vote for Hillary. She wants more of them, not less. All right, I rest my case. If you're sane, be here. If you're insane, turn the dial.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So Obama says bring them all in. I say, are you crazy? The CIA director says they're using refugee flows to bring terrorists here. Top imam says beating wives is the only way to control them. A leading Pakistani cleric from the Council of Islamic Ideology. How does Obama get out of this one? Muhammad Khan Sirani gives a speech to journalists, and he says the only way to control a woman is with a light beating after you try other things. If a woman does not fulfill her responsibilities in marriage, first you advise her. That doesn't work, you consult her relatives. If that doesn't work, then you desert her in bed. And if all of this doesn't work, then you give her a light beating. Sirani told the BBC that without the beating option, husbands would be powerless to change their wives' behavior.
Believe me, I know. I studied the holy books. You try everything. It doesn't work, you give them a smack. That works, trust me. I've tried for thousands of years. You can't talk to them. You go to the relative, what good does it do? Nah, believe me, trust me, it's religious. You give them a good beating, then they knock it in line. That's all. It's in the book. It's in the book. God willing, God willing. You give them a nice beating, the next thing you know, and they're your wife again. And they love you again. You give them a good smack, and that's it. That's all.
That's the world we're living in. Robert just got married. I hope he covered his ears with cotton by this ideology from Pakistan. God, what a world.
So. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello, hello, hello. We're talking about spiders, birds, eggs, barbarians, insanity, no leadership, drug addicts running everything. Welcome to the show. Here's another little story of follow over. Top imam says beating wives is the only way to control them. You hear this? Now, if he was just a nut in the street selling you falafel, you wouldn't pay attention. But he's the chairman of the Council of Islamic Ideology. Muhammad Khan Sirani gave a speech to journalists in Pakistan, and he told male followers that you got to give a wife a light beating with a problem wife. Why doesn't Obama listen to this? So we can distinguish between Muslims who have evolved and people living in the 8th century. Maybe that would help us accept the president as not being a lunatic. Muhammad Khan Sirani, chairman of the Council of Islamic Ideology in Pakistan, offered an archaic model to men because, quote, when we draft a bill concerning women, we have to consider all possible solutions, he said. So he's proposing a law that would allow husbands to beat their wives. Now, he made these statements last month, and he doubled down and affirmed them to the BBC in an interview that aired on Thursday. One, if a woman does not fulfill her responsibilities in marriage, first you advise her. Two, if that doesn't work, then you consult her relatives. Three, if that doesn't work, then you desert her in bed, and if all this doesn't work, then light beating is allowed. The genius told the BBC that without the beating option, husbands would be powerless to change their wives' behavior. He asked,
then you tell me what's the solution to this issue. What did I know? I know nothing. I try everything. It doesn't work. You give up beating, then it works. It's tried and true 1,000 years. It works. We tried it 1,000 years. It works. You're going to listen to the idiots in America? You're going to reason with a woman? We have 1,000 years. It works. If a woman doesn't respond to advice and doesn't listen to her relatives, you use all your options. What should be done? No? What do you want?
So women living here in the 21st century. Now, the reason I'm using that high-pitched voice is because we have a tape from the other day of another imam calling for killing homosexuals, saying it's compassionate. And strangely enough, he had a voice like that. Remember, Robert? Do we have that guy with the woman's voice saying it's...
You have to be compassionate to gays, too.
You can't believe it. With a voice like that, kill gays, he said. And Obama's there. Obama's talking about be compassionate to this and that. Doesn't say a word about radical Islam. So the women in the Muslim world are going crazy. Bloggers like Yumna Mustafa said, hashtag try beating me lightly and I'll make sure you get poisoned slightly. Now, there's an immigrant we need. I'd like her in the country. She wouldn't be let in. She wouldn't be given a green card. This one would be given a green card. Imagine how they would cater to this guy in the White House. Council of Islamic Ideology. Senator Turban Durbin. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. Like, I just got an email from the California State Legislature. They're welcoming the Holiness Dalai Lama, which is nice. So I sent them back an email. You know, they wanted to give press credentials to the press conference. So I sent back to the functionary. I said, pay close attention to what the Dalai Lama says, because he is warning the world against the Islamization of the West. They don't know what I'm talking about. They have no idea what this guy even stands for. My friends, Americans and countrymen, I am helping you awaken to the danger we are in. I am using every tactic that I know of: anger, rage, humor, sarcasm. Sunday night text Savage to 36500 to nominate Michael to the National Radio Hall of Fame. That's midnight on Sunday night. And we'll talk more about that later. And here we are. What do you want to talk about? Now, the bird thing seems to have caught a lot of attention. It's always true animal stuff attracts a lot of reaction on the show. I didn't make it up. A woman just wrote me, Kimberly Hollingsworth, answered a bird's eggs question. And she says, I am a licensed wildlife rehabilitator in New York State, and I specialize in small birds. You know, there are such wonderful people in the world. We never hear of them. Good people, you never hear of them. Like the unsung heroes of the world. The doctors who work in the emergency rooms are like real heroes to me. ER doctors, the greatest. I mean, these people can patch up a person that comes in. I never saw anything like it. I don't know how they do it. That's a real doctor to me. I mean, really amazing. I look at these guys and the women in there. They're saints to me. The nurses in the hospitals who clean up the puke and the vomit and the blood. Angels, all these people, and we never hear of them. Instead, you see the lowest of human life paraded by the media. She says, it is an urban myth that once a human touches a nest or touches an egg or touches a baby bird that the parents will reject. A total myth. In a situation by the side of your garage with a disturbed nest, you are close in your attempt to help the bird and the egg. If a nest is disturbed, the best one can do is to create a new artificial nest in some place as close as possible. Small wicker basket, small Tupperware lined with a washcloth or shredded soft paper tells it. Place the egg into the new nest. Usually the bird will come back. This is also recommended for nests that fall from trees. You can put a new nest back in a tree attached with a nail or wired to a branch. Thank you, Michael Savage, for caring. My heart broke with yours as you realized the experience and the bird crying out at you. I know you didn't mean to hurt it. No, it's true. It's true. I'm like tuned in. I'm tuned in. So what do you have to be, like a certain way in order to feel things or what? You're not allowed to feel things if you're, you know, strong-minded in one way and You can feel things at the same time. I think it's a wonderful thing to be strong-minded and still feel things. I don't think it's either or. I haven't numbed myself. I can hear, I can see, I can smell, I can feel. I wake up in the morning, I look out, and I know what's going on in the world. So I see a bird's egg. That's all. I know what it is. I know how this bird symbolizes us. We are the bird. I'm that little bird who laid that egg, struggling as she did to reproduce and carry forward her lifeline. Pure instinct, right? Pure instinct. The nest, the this, the that. Just like any mother, any human mother. Any human mother that's not a drug addict has the same instincts towards her baby. Right? So you can't lose your instincts. You lose your instincts, what are you? You detach from reality. And that's why I'm telling you my instincts are intact with regard to the barbaric invasion. And my instincts tell me that Obama's doing it on purpose. My instincts tell me that Obama wants to harm America forever. My instincts tell me he's a madman, and he's very evil, and he must be impeached immediately. Now, I know none of this will happen, because he owns the press lock, stock, and barrel. There's virtually no voices of opposition. They were squashed a long time ago. Anyone who utters a word against this guy is thrown out of the television station or thrown off a newspaper. He's above the law. He's untouchable. Same with Feinstein. Same with Boxer. Same with Pelosi. Same with Durbin. You name the whole cadre of the mad people running this country and the bad people running this country, and you'll rarely ever see a mainstream media personality taking them on, if ever. So is it hopeless? I don't have an answer to that. I'm not God. I'm only one man. But it doesn't mean I don't see what's going on. I do see what's going on, just as I saw the bird's egg. I could have also not seen it. This thing was like maybe the size of four green peas put together. I wish I knew the species. Man, did she get freaked out. She flew up like, whew, flew up right into that tree and looked down. And man, she was screaming at me. An alarm signal to every bird in that whole neighborhood. There's evil monster man upset my nest. I thought it was going to be like a Hitchcock job. I thought I was going to get my eyes pecked out, like the next thing, like 1,000 birds were going to fly out of the trees. That'd be like a good fable. That's a good child's story. And the old man walked in the back of his house, and he untouched him, and then 1,000 black birds came out, flying out of the trees. And instead of attacking him, they sang to him. I could turn it into something nice, too. I could do a whole symphony on it. They're called the Bird Symphony by Michael Beethoven. That would be a nice one, the Bird Symphony. You ever listen to Beethoven recently? I know someone who's freaked out by all the Islamic murder going on in America and the world. Yeah, exactly that. No mincing of words. I know a woman who's getting very freaked out by the Muslim murderers everywhere. The slaughter of the gays got to a lot of women. A lot of women identify with gay men, by the way. I don't know if you know that. And they felt vulnerable by the attack. And they're frightened because they know the government is either complicit by looking the other way or incompetent. It didn't matter. They feel unprotected. The women are freaking out in America. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know which way to turn. So I said to this person, I said, have you listened to Beethoven recently? I said, you have a great sound system in your house somewhere, right? I said, just turn on any one of Beethoven's great symphonies and sit back for 5 minutes and just let it flood your brain. Now, no one does that really anymore. Very few people understand that. But one of the great human minds, Ludwig van Beethoven, sorry to break the news to you, white male, Ludwig van Beethoven, I realize he's as offensive as Shakespeare is to the low-life morons that can't keep up with everyone else. They go to Yale, they let him into Yale. They want to overthrow the curriculum now because they can't read English. It's offensive to them based on race. You hear this? What's going on in this country? Under the maniac in the White House? You say, what has he got to do with it? Everything! This would not be happening if we had a proud leader in this country who supported this nation and its values and its culture and its borders. This would not be happening down to the level of the schoolroom. You wouldn't have bathrooms that you don't know what to go in if you didn't have a lunatic who's trying to upset the whole society. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. See, Beethoven does that. But he was deaf and I'm not deaf. My ears work really good. But if you are in a depression and you get music, real, I'm talking great music, I don't mean the garbage. I'm not talking about the gold teeth people. I'm not talking about the jailhouse music that passes for music in America. I don't care if they make, you know, $50 million, that matters to you, that makes it great music. You ever hear the song I once did, a rap song called 50 Words of English? We're going to find that. I did it a few years ago. I don't know if I can even play it and still keep my radio show. It was a song I sang to a rap beat. I don't remember how, I mean, like 2008. I know 50 words of English, and I'm worth 50 mil. That one, that was pretty good. That passes for music, you hear this? But no, listen to Beethoven. Just listen to Eroica as loud as you can. Put the headphones on. If you don't feel your whole brain change, if you don't feel the crust breaking around your head, then you're probably hopeless and you'll vote for Hillary. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
I speak 50 words of English. And I got 10 mil in the bank. I speak 50 words of English, and I got 10 mil in the bank, Jank. You speak 100,000 words of English, and you ain't worth jack, because you ain't got no crack. I speak 50 words of English, and I'm worth 10 mil in the bank, Jank. You speak 100,000 words of English, and you ain't worth jack, crack.
Yeah, that's about says it all. Here's some news headlines on the Savage Nation. Pink Pistols urge gays to arm themselves. They're saying guns did not do this. A human being did. Attention, Hillary Clinton. Wake up, Hillary. The gays have moved beyond your rhetoric. They said guns did not do this. A human being did. Good for them. What more can you say? They want to live, so they know what they have to do to defend themselves. DOJ overrules FBI on gun sales debate, says no fly list can be used for the ban. Stupid. What do you expect from Attorney General Loretta Lynch, appointed by Al Sharpton and Barack Obama? She knows more than FBI Director James Comey. She knows everything. Right. Saudi Arabia has funded 20% of Hillary's presidential campaign, Saudi Crown Prince claims. If this is not the pinnacle of hypocrisy, I'd like to know what is. Saudi Arabia has funded 20% of Hillary's presidential campaign, Saudi Crown Prince claims. Okay, we say, well, so what? Oh, look into it. You'll figure out why, so what? Obama has ordered flags and half-staffed more than any president in history. Let's not go into this. When has he lowered the flags for someone killed in combat in Afghanistan recently? Never, that I know of. Never. Ordering all flags at federal buildings and ships at sea to be flown at half-staff to honor the 49 victims. Well, they are, of that Orlando nightclub shooting. But they're not a victim of guns so much as they are a victim of radical Islam. They're a victim of jihad. That's what they're a victim of, and we're a victim of Obama's political insanity. We ought to lower our flags for him, since he's killing our Constitution. Since 2009, Obama has issued 66 proclamations to fly the flag at half-staff, exceeding Bush's 58, Clinton's 50. Who keeps a record of this? According to USA, I don't know, pay attention to the... Why do we assume presidents are so smart? You know, the big question is that why do you assume that a man becomes president is smarter than everyone else when he's just the front for some powerful interests and a good speaker who knows how to make a tie in many cases? Does that make him smarter or better than other people? Could it be possible that he actually, there are people who are smarter than him and far better than him? Is it possible that as a human being he's flawed and failed as a person? Why do we hold up a president, whoever it may be, as somebody greater than everybody on earth? Is it not possible that they have failings and foibles, you know, victim of their own foibles? Is it not possible that they may not be that bright? Is it not possible that they could be insane? All those possibilities exist in the annals of human history, except in America, where this mythology, this Mickey Mouse mythology about president, oh, man, look up to, oh, here comes God himself. Here he comes, President of the United States, Barack Obama. Yes, sir. Almost poked his eye out when he did the first salute off Air Force One. Remember that first week? As he walked up the steps of Air Force One, he looked back. I have that picture somewhere. It was like, holy God, look how far I got with this lie. He couldn't believe it, that the people are that stupid and the controllers are that smart, that they could take this guy and make him a president. Yes, sir. And there goes the wife. Another junket coming up. That's right. Wife and kiddies. Another trip. Squeeze every last ounce of change that you can out of the administration and let old wifey take as many trips as she can at the public expense so she can come back hating America and give another speech about how oppressed she is. Every other speech with the whiny voice. Yeah, she's going on another trip. You didn't read that one? They dummied it up, the whole thing. Taking another trip at the end of June. Another Air Force One job to Morocco now on a woman's thing with the children, the mother-in-law, and friends of the children, too, are going. I never saw anything like this. How does she get away with this? What if Laura Bush had done that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. That's going to be a better patient for you. School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. They've already lost his name on USA Today. I'm shocked that they're still reporting him as Omar Mateen and haven't changed it to Omar Martin in order for you to obscure any connection to Arabic. But remember him, the guy who shot up the poor gay guys? Remember? The Muslim? School records paint disturbing picture of Orlando shooter. Now, this is a USA Today article, and I go there to see the arch liberals, how they twist everything. So they're already painting it as a story about the fact that he was a disturbed child, not a Muslim. Not a jihadist, but a disturbed child, and he slipped through the cracks. Had we only had counseling and treatment, if we were only a more inclusive nation. Omar Mateen's behavior, marked by constant outbursts in classroom insubordination, greatly contributed to his academic struggles. He struggled with English. See, that's an example of why in America we should teach courses in Arabic, not in English. I mean, after all, there used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now under Obama, it's when in America, do as you do and let the Americans drop dead. Remember the adage you remembered in high school, when in Rome, do as the Romans do? Romans were the center of the universe in their time, as we were before the invader came to the White House. And then I read, the main factor prohibiting Omar from success in school is not that the work is too hard, but rather his difficulties in conforming to class and school rules, in a letter sent to his father. Now, Omar on Sunday killed 49 gays and injured 53 at an Orlando nightclub. They've already washed it of gays. No reference to gays and Islam. And they said he had trouble from kindergarten on. He was disciplined 31 times, blah, blah, blah. He attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Oh, my God. How they let that slip into the article. I'm sure the reporter will be punished for that one. He had already attended two kindergartens, one in an Islamic school in Westbury, New York. Then his family moves to Florida, and they said he was always a troublemaker. Now, of course, the article indicates that the reason he was a problem, because his first language was Afghani, and that was spoken at home. And since school in America is taught in English, that was offensive to him. So I was thinking that there must be some way to reach out to the future jihadis in America to stop them from doing it. And I think that we should consider adding certain courses to elementary school in America, that especially the ones we're bringing in now from Africa and the Middle East, in order to make young jihadis feel more included. We have to make our schools, Robert, more inclusive. So I think that elementary schools, all the way through K through 12, should consider special courses for the newcomers to America, so we're not seen as a non-inclusive nation. And so we could introduce throat cutting 101, how to slice a throat in one motion, advanced wife beating, how to cut eye slits in a drape for your girlfriend. We could do other courses when they get older, such as identifying infidels. Or, let us say, by the 8th grade, roof-throwing 101. Then, of course, when they hit 12th to 12th grade, we can introduce these courses. Media Relations 102, how to turn everything into an affront to Muslims. And then Media Relations 102 would be, it's all their fault, how to blame every situation on the West and the Jews after you kill someone. Of course, in high school, if you want to be more inclusive in the future of America under Obama's flooding us with Islamic refugees, we could introduce History 203, how to keep your 7th century values in a 21st century world. And later on, there could be a master course on advanced chanting in schools and 10 steps to becoming a terrorist mastermind. So I'll be damned if I'm going to stop being sarcastic and start kowtowing to these bedbugs. I'm sick of it. I am so sick of the media being afraid of them. I hate it. The only thing we can do is fight back, and I will use what I have best. I don't fight back with an AR-15. I fight back with my brain, with sarcasm, with ridicule. This is why I won the Freedom of Speech Award after I was banned from entering Britain. I had only one weapon against the Labour Party maniacs who banned me from entering Britain. They have Muslims in that country threatening to overthrow the nation, kill Christians, cut people's heads off, and they don't throw them out. But I'm not allowed to go to Britain. And it's a real shame for me. I've said it many times. I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain. Since we have nothing left but our humor in this humorless world. And by the way, if you want to see what's not funny, the whole thing has backfired on the gun grabbers. The terrible, terrible shootout. It wasn't a shootout. It was a one-way job by the jihadi in in Orlando in the gay club. Has caused gay communities to go out and buy guns in great numbers. Sales surge among gays and lesbians. So now this flies in the face of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Gun sales surge among gays, lesbians after Orlando shooting. I wonder why. Could anyone figure that one out? Denver, blah, blah, blah. Gunshots, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. So they're getting a lot of them buying them all of a sudden. The Pink Pistols, is a national gun club for gays and lesbians. It saw its membership soar from about 1,500 members on Saturday to 3,500 on Monday. New chapters of the Pink Pistols are springing up everywhere. He said it's something he feels compelled to do even though he's heterosexual. He says, I look at it as a disenfranchised minority that needs someone who's willing to say, I'm a resource who's here and willing to help. Why don't we form a Pink Pistols here, a Savage Nation Pink Pistols gun club on the show to be in solidarity with our gay and lesbian listeners. I'm not going to form a club, but guys, you get the picture. This is the worst nightmare in the world for Hillary Clinton and Dick Durbin, which is that the one community of gays and lesbians that they thought they owned lock, stock, and barrel, they don't own by the barrel anymore. They don't even own it by the lock nor by the stock. They don't own this community whatsoever. The community knows, because they're very sensitive to hate, who hates them the most. And they know it's not the Christian right-winger, okay? They got that picture. They know who the haters are, so they're buying guns. The worst nightmare for Hillary. Who is she going to change her message to now? Who is she going to hate now? The NRA? Who is she going to attack now? Did you read about Hillary's huge Libya disaster, something I've been telling you about for quite a while now? It was she who created the disaster in Libya and flooded Europe with African Muslims and destroyed Libya. If you're insane and you want an insane woman who's dangerous running America, you couldn't make a better choice. Prior to the February 17, 2011 day of rage, Libya had a national budget surplus of budget surplus. We don't have a budget surplus. Libya had a budget surplus of 8.7% of GDP in 2010 with oil production at 1.8 million barrels per day. Currently, under Hillary Clinton's disastrous Arab Spring policy, oil production has decreased by over 80%. Following the overthrow of Gaddafi, the Libyan economy has contracted by an estimated 41% and now has a national deficit of 17% GDP. So it seems like Obama is running Libya. Gaddafi did a better job running Libya than Obama is in running America. Because before the revolution, there's a great article on this, The National Interest by Charles Kubik, and it's entitled Hillary's Huge Libya Disaster. I already turned the dial. I could feel him turning. The brain-dead, drug-addicted Americans have just turned the dial. They're moving to NPR now. They want to hear Vivaldi music about how good Hillary is, how wonderful Obama is. Okay, my friends, the California Voting Rights Act, you know about that? Automatically registered to vote any driver's license applicants, including non-citizens and illegals. This is what Jerry Brown did. How do you think an incompetent like Jerry Brown could become governor? How do you think an incompetent like Mayor Lee in San Francisco could keep his job with such a corrupt city? How do you think someone like Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, and Barbara Boxer can stay in office? How? If you give the right to vote to individuals who are not citizens, who don't even understand English, they'll do anything that their ward boss tells them to do. That's how it works. It's a total meltdown. So it's a miracle that we still have freedom of speech. And the fact of the matter is, it won't be. If she wins, it's over. First goes, then the second. First, the second. That's how it goes. Today, at a hearing on CIA intelligence activity, CIA Director John Brennan said ISIS is attempting to infiltrate operatives into the West through refugee flows. Refugee flows? The CIA? How could he be saying a thing like that? That goes against the narrative that is being put forth by Obama and by Hillary, that they're all coming here to work and worship. And that's our American values, to be welcoming. Even those who want to kill us, we should be welcoming to those who want to kill us. In fact, we should help sharpen their knives. If we're true Americans, we'd be open, welcoming. We would help sharpen their knives for them. We'd even help them with C4 explosive if we were good Americans. We don't want to interfere with their activities. Here, how could the CIA director say the Islamic State is attempting to infiltrate the West through refugee flows? First of all, we've all known that for a long period of time. He just found it out. He suddenly got a memo on it. I guess it was yesterday. We've been talking about it, let's see, since Stop the Coming Civil War, Government Zero. I think I even hint at it in my Teddy book, Teddy and Me somewhere, that they're infiltrating the West. It's like poodles are doing very well in the West, and all of a sudden people are bringing in dogs that want to kill them. And a poodle would even know that. It's the first thing a poodle would know. Animals know things. I want to shift, though, to something entirely different. Here's the nice thing. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get out a pen. Yes, you remember those things that you held in your hand between your index finger, your thumb, and the third finger? Remember those things called pens? That's right. And you held it in those three fingers, and you grasped it, and you made a note. And the note is that Sunday night at 12:01 a.m., if you're still up, if you have insomnia or you're following your natural sleep cycle, which is not to sleep, in such a long block of 9 hours, but break it up into two blocks, as most humans have done through the millennia. Let's say you're up at 12:01. Here's what I want you to do. You type the name Savage into your text device, and then you send it to 36500. I'll tell you more about it on Friday. And if you do that, you will help elect Michael Savage to the National Radio Hall of Fame, because I deserve it. If I didn't deserve it, I wouldn't tell you about it. I'm only running against three other people. And since I've been a pioneer in the spoken word, since I'm far more creative, inventive, entertaining, informative, educated than everyone else in the history of radio, I deserve the award. And I want to be in the National Radio Hall of Fame. I think it would be a real honor for me. And then the only way I could win is if enough listeners text all their friends and people on their social lists to say, type the name Savage and send it to 36500. But this can't happen until Sunday night, 12:01 a.m., or Monday morning, the first thing you wake up. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Barack Obama is directly responsible for it. When he pulled everybody out of Iraq, thinking that conflict's in just because we leave. So the responsibility for it lies with President Barack Obama and his failed policies. I'm directly responsible because he pulled everybody out of Iraq, and I predicted at the time that ISIS would go unchecked and there would be attacks on the United States of America. It's a matter of record. So he is directly responsible.
All right, so McCain finally said something honest, and then he backtracked a short time afterwards, and said he didn't really mean it. But he actually said it. He said he warned us that if Obama did what he did, which pulled troops out of Iraq, Al-Qaeda would grow it, then it became ISIS, etc. So now he says that's what he said, and it happened. That's why he's responsible for the Orlando attacks. So then he backtracked and said he didn't mean it. So in other words, McCain's running for re-election, which he shouldn't be doing. He's been a senile old goat for too long a time, as it is. But nevertheless, he's trying to act like he's all of a sudden conservative. Here's another report for you if you haven't had enough yet that the gag on. Orlando jihadi threatened to shoot classmate at cookout over pork meat. Omar Mateen, the jihadi responsible for the massacre of 49 people at the gay club on Sunday, once threatened to shoot everyone at a cookout because he believed his hamburger had touched pork meat. The anecdote is covered in a Wall Street Journal profile citing classmates of Mateen's at Indian River Community College, that's in Florida, listen to this, where he was working toward corrections officer training in the hopes of becoming a police officer. Well, he was a troublemaker. He kept making fake threats and complaints that he was being picked on, his classmates discriminated against him for being a Muslim, no evidence supporting it. They finally threw him out of the school. You hear this? Every other day it was Muslim did this, and the Muslims, because I'm Muslim, they did that. You know the racket, don't you? Well, one classmate noted that he did, in fact, know that Mateen was a Muslim because he recalled Mateen mentioning that he did not eat pork. Another classmate, Suzanne Coburn LaForest, noted that he did not just mention it in passing. He flipped out and told everyone at the cookout he was going to come back and shoot us because he thought pork meat had touched some of his food. You know, do you see the insanity of these people? Say, what do you mean, these people? What people? These people, the jihadis amongst us. These people. They're not like you and I. They're insane. If they use a holy book as a justification for killing people, by definition, they never should have been allowed in the country. You say, well, he was born here. Then he should have been deported or arrested, period. I don't care what you use. If you're going to walk around saying you're going to kill people for any reason, you should be put in jail. If you say you're threatening to kill people, lock the people up. I don't care you're protected by the First Amendment because it's your religion. No religion should have the right to say kill people. Well, unfortunately, leadership doesn't understand there's a difference between a 7th century interpretation of a holy book and a modern interpretation of a holy book. That's not my problem. It should be the president's leadership that takes control of these things. The Wall Street Journal noticed that the aspiring police officer had his car raided, possibly for bringing a firearm to campus. He had repeatedly made statements warning that, for example, the Virginia Tech massacre, quote, could happen here in the academy class. His threats, witnesses say, were intimately tied to his identity as a Muslim. All right, you get the picture. After 9/11, what did he do? He made plane noises on the bus as a child, acting like he was running into a building. The night of the attack at the nightclub, he said, the real Muslims will never accept the filthy ways of the West. And then he pledges allegiance to ISIS. I hope that if there is a silver lining to this horrible tragedy, the gay community will awaken to the fact that the Democrats are not their friends. They're actually their enemies. Good night, and thank you for listening to The Savage Nation.